Welcome to Ad Bible, an audio daily devotion from the Ezra Project. We join Alan J. Huth as he shares Bible passages and comments from over 30 years of his personal Bible reading journals.
Today we are in the second chapter of Jeremiah. We'll listen to Faith Comes by Hearing's reading of the 37 verses of Jeremiah 2.
Jeremiah 2.
The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Go and proclaim in the hearing of Jerusalem. Thus says the Lord, I remember the devotion of your youth, your love as a bride, how you followed me in the wilderness, in a land not sown. Israel was holy to the Lord, the first fruits of his harvest. All who ate of it incurred guilt. Disaster came upon them, declares the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the clans of the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, What wrong did your fathers find in me, that they went far from me, and went after worthlessness, and became worthless? They did not say, Where is the Lord who brought us up from the land of Egypt, who led us in the wilderness, in a land of deserts and pits, in a land of drought and deep darkness, in a land that none passes through, where no man dwells? And I brought you into a plentiful land to enjoy its fruits and its good things. But when you came in, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. The priests did not say, Where is the Lord? Those who handle the law did not know me. The shepherds transgressed against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal and went after things that do not profit. Therefore I still contend with you, declares the Lord, and with your children's children I will contend. For cross to the coasts of Cyprus and see, or send to Kedar and examine with care. See if there has been such a thing. Has a nation changed its gods, even though they are no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. Be appalled, O heavens, at this. Be shocked, be utterly desolate, declares the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Is Israel a slave? Is he a homeborn servant? Why then has he become a prey? The lions have roared against him. They have roared loudly. They have made his land a waste. His cities are in ruins without inhabitant. Moreover, the men of Memphis and Tahpenhes have shaved the crown of your head. Have you not brought this upon yourself by forsaking the Lord your God when he led you in the way? And now, what do you gain by going to Egypt to drink the waters of the Nile? Or what do you gain by going to Assyria to drink the waters of the Euphrates? Your evil will chastise you, and your apostasy will reprove you. Know and see that it is evil and bitter for you to forsake the Lord your God. The fear of me is not in you, declares the Lord God of hosts. For long ago I broke your yoke and burst your bonds, but you said, I will not serve. Yes, on every high hill and under every green tree you bowed down like a whore. Yet I planted you a choice vine, holy of pure seed. How then have you turned degenerate and become a wild vine? Though you wash yourself with lye and use much soap, the stain of your guilt is still before me, declares the Lord God. How can you say, I am not unclean? I have not gone after the Baals. Look at your way in the valley. Know what you have done. A restless young camel running here and there, a wild donkey used to the wilderness, in her heat, sniffing the wind. Who can restrain her lust? None who seek her need weary themselves. In her month they will find her. Keep your feet from going unshod and your throat from thirst. But you said, It is hopeless, for I have loved foreigners, and after them I will go. As a thief is shamed when caught, so the house of Israel shall be shamed. They, their kings, their officials, their priests, and their prophets, who say to a tree, You are my father, and to a stone, You gave me birth. For they have turned their back to me and not their face. But in the time of their trouble, they say, "Arise and save us." But where are your gods that you made for yourself? Let them arise if they can save you in your time of trouble. For as many as your cities are your gods, O Judah. Why do you contend with me? You have all transgressed against me, declares the Lord. In vain have I struck your children. They took no correction. Your own sword devoured your prophets like a ravening lion. And you, O generation, behold the word of the Lord. Have I been a wilderness to Israel, or a land of thick darkness? Why then do my people say, "We are free, we will come no more to you"? Can a virgin forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. How well you direct your course to seek love, so that even to wicked women you have taught your ways. Also, on your skirts is found the lifeblood of the guiltless poor. You did not find them breaking in. Yet in spite of all these things you say, "I am innocent. Surely his anger has turned from me." Behold, I will bring you to judgment for saying, "I have not sinned." How much you go about changing your way. You shall be put to shame by Egypt as you were put to shame by Assyria. From it too you will come away with your hands on your head, for the Lord has rejected those in whom you trust, and you will not prosper by them.
Today I'd like to go backwards in my journals, starting with 2016 and going to 2004, then to 1991. So let's begin with my journal from 2016, when I read Jeremiah 2 and 3 on the same day. And concerning Jeremiah 2, I wrote, "After his calling in chapter 1, Jeremiah gets right after it, and does he ever? At first, Israel followed the Lord like a new bride with her husband, but quickly they defiled my land," and I was quoting verse 7, "transgressed against me," verse 8, "Israel changed its God," verse 11, "things go from blessing to curse. Have you not brought this upon yourself by forsaking the Lord your God?" And that's a quote from verse 17. "The fear of me is not in you," according to verse 19. Jeremiah uses prostitution as his example of Israel. They have left their husband and went whoring after idols, false gods. Yet when trouble comes, they cry out to God for help. But God says, "Are you kidding me? Go get help from your self-made gods in your time of trouble." That ends my journal entry for 2016, where Jeremiah uses marriage and prostitution to make his point about God's relationship with Israel. Going back to 2004, I read Jeremiah 1 through 3 on the same day, and I didn't have any notes concerning this chapter. And back in 1991, I read Jeremiah 1 and 2 on the same day, and I only made notes concerning chapter 1. But I also note where I was in 1991, and that was I was at a marriage retreat. Again, we were 36 years old at the time. I made a bunch of notes in my Bible reading journal about the marriage retreat. I think you'll find them interesting. So from Jeremiah chapter 2, we'll talk about marriage a little bit today. From the marriage retreat, I wrote these notes. 1. Three kinds of marriage. Am I happy? Are we happy? Is God pleased with our marriage? What kind of marriage do you have? Are you happy? Are we happy? Is God happy with your marriage? The next section of my notes have to do with problems of marriages. I wrote, first of all, isolation. We will not talk about our marriage. We'll talk about jobs, kids, but how's your marriage? No way. The second problem is our models of marriage. We seem to bring into marriage the behaviors we watched in the marriages of our parents. And often, whether we like that behavior or not, we seem to be repeating the same things in our own marriages. The point from that marriage retreat was get to know God so well that our behavior becomes like Him rather than the marriages of our parents. Another answer to this issue was see life as an adventure, not a struggle. Is your marriage an adventure or a struggle? The next point I wrote down was how to build distinctively Christian marriages. And the first point here was selfism, how to overcome our natural state of selfishness. Jesus says, be different. The next point was don't follow a cultural version of marriage, follow a biblical perspective of marriage. The next point was marriage was created not for our own lives and happiness, but that God can perform and be glorified in relationships while we love one another. We can be discipled through marriage. Is that how you look at your marriage? That it's a place where God can perform his work between you and your husband or wife? The next point into how to build a distinctively Christian marriage was love in such a way that the world will know. And then we got to the issue of communication. Communicating too directly with each other can cause problems. So temper your communication with each other based on biblical principles. The next issue covered was conflict. Whoa, do you have any conflict in your marriage? Well, what I wrote down from the marriage retreat was this. Two different people can resolve conflict by communicating. There is room for differences. Two distinctively different people need to be whole together, not halves. I don't profess to be a marriage counselor, but you can see at 36 years old, Terry and I were investing in our marriage by going to a marriage retreat, and should I say, a Christian marriage retreat. Jeremiah chapter 2 is about a marriage relationship, God the husband and his people, his bride. In verse 2, he says, I remember the devotion of your youth, your love as a bride. Israel was holy to the Lord. But then God asks, what wrong did your fathers find in me that they went far from me? Israel broke its marriage relationship with God. Don't do that in your own marriage. If you're married and you're in love, hug your husband or your wife today, give her a kiss or him a kiss on the cheek and say, I love you. If you are not happily married today, but still married, think about attending a Christian marriage retreat. Invest in your marriage. God is certainly going to invest in Israel throughout the book of Jeremiah. So I encourage you to do the same. Invest in your marriage. Father, throughout the Bible, you use the marriage relationship as an illustration. You always remain faithful. We oftentimes do not. So let's transfer this illustration in chapter 2 to our marriages today. May we remain faithful in our marriages as you remain faithful to us. Thank you for allowing us to be the bride of Christ. Someday we will enjoy the marriage supper of the Lamb. But until then, Lord, intervene in our own marriages. Bless our marriages. Help us remain faithful to one another in a loving relationship as you have always done with us. Thank you for loving us. In your precious name we pray. Amen.